Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropped the presentations on and over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer a salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
It is the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Joey Wagner spent the whole first hour talking conference realignment. Let's dive into the Illini specifically. Illini football getting training camp underway this week. Brett Bielema, who you heard from on yesterday's show, meeting with the media. And then today, Aaron Henry, defensive coordinator, spoke with the media. We're going to play his sound bites here in a few minutes. But before we did that, I wanted to pick Joey's brain a little bit. On the defensive side of the ball, of course, you get Johnny Newton, Keith Randolph, thought to be All-American caliber talents. Tariq Barnes back there in the middle. Matthew Bailey, I read your story yesterday, and we discussed a little bit. Not ready at the start of training camp, has a foot issue, but optimistic that he will be ready for the opener. Let's start on the back end where the question marks lie. How much of a worry is that, do you think, around the program that secondary, who did play decently well in that bowl game, is something that could be picked apart and something they got to worry about?
I don't know that it's a worry around the program in the sense of inside the Smith Center, but everyone else is looking at that like, okay, we know they've recruited talent, mm-hmm. but it's young, and they've gotten into the portal for a little bit of an older, a couple older guys to add back there. I don't think Aaron Henry, and if he is concerned, he ain't going to say it.
Correct, yeah.
But I think they truly do believe in the talent they have and their ability to coach up that talent. But there are questions that come with that, Derek. Can you still play as much man-to-man defense as you did last year? You're able to do that because you had Devin Witherspoon and Taz Nicholson is back. Your safeties were really good. They were old. They understood everything. Sidney Brown, I don't even know if, like, he had one responsibility at all last year other than, like, just go create a mess. Like, go do things and bother offenses. So does that look different? Is it a little more, I don't know if vanilla is the word, bland's the word, if it's more zone coverage? I think there's a lot to be determined. But for those of us who cover the program, for people who follow it, you want to know who's going to be back there. And like, there's just – it's because it's such a wide turnover. There's four starters. Four of your five starters are gone in NFL training camps, three of which were drafted, Devin Witherspoon, Quan Martin, and Sidney Brown. So, I mean, it's just a lot of turnover. In a season that you really need to keep this momentum going forward. So, Matthew Bailey, as you mentioned, the hope is to get him back a few weeks before the start of the opener. We'll see when he gets back healthy. He's dealing because of foot injury that had limited him back in the spring. So you think he's going to be somewhere. It's free safety, strong safety. I don't know that it matters. I think he's got the ability to do both. You know Nicholson's cornerback one. We think Xavier Scott is the nickel. He could play corner. So then is it Demetrius Hill, the Florida International transfer? Is it Clayton Bush, the SIU transfer? Nakario Harper transferred from Louisville. Like, those seem to be kind of the three guys in the mix there. So I don't know, man. Like, that's why we went in so badly, especially this year. I missed to see that. I don't have any questions about the defensive front. You mentioned Johnny Newton. You mentioned Keith Randolph. Gayback is Seth Coleman. They're good. They're good up there. The questions are in the secondary, and I think it's fair. I think all the questions are fair. I just don't get the outward sense of worry from the building.
When you look at that linebacking core, you mentioned in terms of the outside rushers there, Coleman, Akis, Tariq Barnes, pretty much of a known commodity there in the middle. Calvin Hart, I would have liked to see more from him last year. It just seemed like a very quiet year from him. Admittedly, on a defense that had a lot of spotlight type of players, but what did you gather from him last year, and can he be a more of a standout player this year? Does Illinois need him to be?
He's at Oregon State.
Oh man, you know what? I just remembered that.
That's all right.
As you said it, my athlon, which I have here in hand, did me a disservice. It's funny. I'm just rationalizing my mistake here, but
I didn't want to do that to you.
No, please do. Please dunk all over me. Peyton Thorne, who I was reading about Michigan State, and they had Peyton Thorne as the quarterback. I thought Peyton Thorne went into the portal. Did he just go back to Michigan State?
Where did he end up?
He went to Auburn. But yeah, you're right. Calvin Hart.
So to replace Calvin Hart, Derek Piper, it's Kenenno to
Kenenno. Yeah, we had him on the show.
Last time I was on. Dylan Rosiak is going to be in that conversation. I still think James Crutes is someone to watch. Long, violent, probably more, maybe you would expect to see him more on special teams this year, but we'll see. There's some snaps to be had, but it does feel like Kenan Odaluga, mm-hmm. Dylan Rosiak are the two guys to watch. So you're right, Tariq Barnes, like I think you know. Tariq Barnes knows what he needs to do. I think you know what you're going to get out of him. Is it going to be All-American football? No. But he's going to be a steady guy there. And I think that the young guys are going to have to step up around him and give them kind of that presence that Isaac Darkangelo, former walk-on, led the team in tackles a year ago, in camp right now with the Detroit Lions. I think it's the Lions, right? I believe that's right. Man, it's some new faces. I'm somewhere between that, Derek, like especially on the defensive side. Like, man, there's a lot of new faces, and you point to the secondary, and there are a lot of new faces. But then you look up front, and it's like, oh, he's still here. He's still here. He's still here. And, you know, in the case of Gabe Akis, like, he looked really good a year ago, and I would imagine he's also going to look good this year. So it's a really interesting blend. It's a weird blend because it's not like you've got three of your five returning in the secondary, and of your front seven, you've got four. It's all returning in one spot and almost none returning in the other spot. Mm-hmm. And it's a very weird dynamic.
I'm going to take a lap during the Aaron Henry segment,
it's hot, by the way. It is
very hot. Also, when I'll be looking for Calvin Hart this year, I'll be like, man, he's still having a quiet season because he's not here.
In Pac-12.
Good luck with survival there. But one other question before we get to Aaron Henry, and I've thought about this. We haven't dug into this, I think, at all on the show, but Lon and I have discussed it off of it, is that, yes, while you have the questions, understandably so, and I have them very much about the secondary, you are in it. You're still in the Big Ten West, and you're still looking at a schedule that is thought to be pretty favorable. I just wonder how many opponents can really hurt you in terms of the back end that much, like that significantly. I do know on the front of the schedule, Kansas is a big game. Jalen Daniels, a guy that throws for 550 yards in his bowl game last year against Arkansas. Tagovailoa for Maryland as you get into a big game there on the road in October. We know Purdue's going to want to throw the ball, but that is something that is in the back of my mind, Joey, is that, yes, it might be a good thing to – it's definitely in terms of what we know traditionally about the Big Ten West or the Big Ten in general. If you were hurting up front but your back end was pretty good, you're probably in trouble against Iowa, Wisconsin, although Wisconsin will play a little bit different this year, and so on and so forth, versus maybe Illinois can get away with it more often than not. And that's not to say they won't have guys like Matthew Bailey and Taz Nicholson form a pretty competent secondary, but that's what do you think about that in terms of the scheduling and just that being the spot that people are going to pinpoint on the line of defense that says maybe they're pretty susceptible in the back end?
Yeah, I think your point's right, but Wisconsin's changing.
Yes.
They're going to throw it around. Purdue has. They're going to continue to do that. But if you want to pinpoint, you know, it's tough because if you can't get the run game going, it's a little easier to diagnose and say, well, they've got to throw it here. Penn State, I imagine, will get the run game going.
Against pretty much anybody.
That's a heck of a running attack. But, Yeah, look, I think that's just college football. If you're not competitive in the trenches, if you're – go back to 2017 when it's all of the freshmen, many of whom are in the NFL now. It's just not – that's not an enviable spot to be in, is to be weak in the line of scrimmage. You can – the further you get from the ball, you can maybe look to some of those young guys to go in there and make an impact earlier. You can't do that in the trenches. So you got to look at how they're recruiting, and Illinois has added some guys in the secondary. Will it be a freshman? I don't know. I mean, no one – Jeremy and I were talking about this a week ago. No one at this time a year ago would have said anything about Matthew Bailey. We didn't even know where he was going to play. Like, when Brett Bielema showed us the film on signing day, it's like, hey, he could be here, he could be here, maybe he plays tight end, I don't know, you put him anywhere. So, like, that's the fun part, and to be honest, we wouldn't have known anything about Matthew Bailey had we not gotten into one open practice where Sidney Brown happened to be out with a concussion. It's like, that's something. Who do we have here? Who's this guy? So you don't know, man, but yeah, I think ideal, and it's the same on the offensive line, right, where you got to replace Chase Brown, but you don't have to replace your left side of your line. If your trenches are good, and Bielema's programs have shown that, you can hold your own. Are you going to have an 8-win season? I don't know. Like, maybe that secondary gets Indiana'd at Kansas, where Indiana had some success throwing the ball in chunk plays. Or Virginia'd from 2021, and you think, oh, boy. And they sort it out. There's probably going to be some growing pains. And a lot of people, and I know you guys have included, have circled that Kansas game as like an oh, boy. Like, early in the season, really good quarterback, team that wants to throw it around, young secondary, that could be a thing. And we'll see.
I'm fascinated by that game because I think that Illinois offensively, with their strength up front against the Kansas defense, they gave up 30 plus per game last year and kind of struggles in terms of winning the line of scrimmage. Maybe Illinois can just pound the rock and keep Daniels off the field as much as possible. I think that's the way to beat him. But you're going into – I know you're it's Lawrence, Kansas. It's not the it's not Rock Chalk Jayhawk time in the fog. Yeah, no fog for sure. But the fact that they have Daniels, that passing attack, your weak – I say weakness. It is a weakness
right now. Secondary. Yeah, you're right. Until it isn't, it is.
You're right.
And because your front seven's so good
– yes.
Everything's got to have a weakness,
you're right.
Your front seven is certainly not, then it's got to be, right?
You're right. No weakness for us on the road when we hit the scenes in the Big Ten towns, though, I don't think. All right, never mind. and then also when you have
Taron Henry,
a young young quarterback, unproven, that's also something that is going to be a factor, especially early in the season for Illinois. Let's do that. Let's get Taron Henry. I'm going to take him on lap. His thoughts on his defense going into training camp. Here is Taron Henry from today.
It's been good, man. It's been good. Busy, very, very busy. But I'm excited about where we're headed. I think we got a good group of dudes, man, and they've been working hard. They've been working really hard. Coach Tank has done a phenomenal job in the weight room, and their bodies look completely different, and we're ready for camp in the season, you know.
And I'm guessing you've always kind of had a holistic view of defenses, but have you – had to zoom out more like with the new role at all? Like, what's that been like for you professionally?
It's been awesome. You know, I think throughout my career, I think being a back end guy, I've always paid attention to what was going on up front, and it wasn't until I was with Dave Dorn at NC State to where I coaching the nickels, we were part of the run game a lot. It was kind of like an outside backer a little bit, but coaching those guys up and then being part of the secondary, it kind of like allow my game to blossom, you know, in terms of growth and development. But, you know, taking a holistic approach now and just trying to make sure we're all on one accord, you know, as a defense, you know, because at the end of the day, right, like, everybody's going to point to me when something goes bad. And so just trying to put guys in the right position. You know, I think today's game in terms of college football is about matchups. And I think we got a lot of really special, talented guys up front. And how can I allow them to take advantage of their skill set and put them in good positions? And so I'm just constantly with our staff just trying to get together with good ideas and put guys in position just to have success, you know, whether that's rushing the pass or whether that's dropping into coverage. You know, at the end of the day, the goal is try to take the ball away and eliminate points from being scored. So
kind of in that same sense, you got a lot of good defensive minds in that room with you now, with Jim, with Brad, former defensive coordinator. Yeah. How do you balance taking influence from them, picking their brains, versus having your own voice show through the defense this
year?
Yeah,
so I've always been about, like, the room. you know, and everybody's going to have a bunch of brilliant ideas, but does it fit into the grand scheme of what we're doing? You know, and just trying to manage that, man. Like, we have some awesome dudes in the room, no ego guys, and so it's made my job really, really easy. You know, I've been a part of staffs to where, you know, everybody wants to do what they want to do, and if you don't comply, it's like World War III, you know? And so I think with the group of guys that we have, you know, they're all bright, they're all intelligent, they all understand the ins and outs of our defense. So if they come to me with a suggestion or something, it's because they legitimately believe that it could work and it can help us, you know, without flooding the guys with a ton of information. So that's something that I'm always taking in consideration, man. I'm, at the end of the day, right, my goal, right, our goal is just to play good defense no matter how that happens, right? It may look a little different than last year, right? But for the most part, guys, the goal is for guys to fly around and just play fast. You know, so how can I eliminate that extra level of thinking for them? But it's been awesome, man. We got a tremendous, tremendous room of dudes.
Aaron, you pushed like 20 scholarship guys in the defensive backfield. Like, how would you describe that competition?
It's awesome, dude. It's absolutely awesome. I think last night was just a small indicator of it. Some guys flashed a little bit. And I think any time you have competition in a room, it just raises the level of everybody's play. Right, like if you're a good player, you got to be great now, right? Or you gonna fall by the wayside. And so I was up front with those, with our whole defense in our first unit meeting yesterday, just about, you know, this is how the depth chart is starting, right? You dictate whether it end like this at the end of spring, at the end of fall camp. I'm sorry. And so just being transparent with these guys, all of them want to play in the NFL, you know. And so when they get to that level, it's a straight business. You know, obviously we want to make sure we have great relationships with them. Obviously, you're mindful of the transfer portal, right? But there's a way that you handle them, knowing that you got relationships with them, right? I think that's got to be cultivated ahead of time. But just allow them to understand, listen, we are tracking every practice. We are tracking your production. We are tracking your mental errors, right? We are tracking, are you making plays on the football? We're tracking all of that. All right, and when this thing is over and done with, when we get to the season, who is going to put us in the best position to have success on the field? Right, and you know what? It may start that way, and we may get to week five, and it may be somebody else in there, right, i.e. Kirby Joseph. You know, and so when you can use those examples for guys, you know, I think it allows them to go out there and just play fast and play free, and if they aren't the initial starter, they know that their number can be called anytime.
Coach, a lot of changes, not just with the staff, but with the roster. Is the scheme and the culture to a place where you feel like you still have some continuity, or do you feel like you're starting over?
No, man, I think I don't feel like we're starting over at all, man. I think we got a really solid core group of older guys that understands what we're trying to get done from a schematic standpoint. And it was really, really cool because in the offseason during the summer, our players, crazy, man. Our players would, like, they would just come up and watch film. You know, like, obviously, a lot of times we weren't here in the building, but they would just come up and watch film. And, like, when you got, and it was a core group of guys kind of leading it. And when you got that kind of leadership, you know, when I got Matt Bailey can stand up in the front of the room and draw up a scheme for Clayton and Demetrius Hill, right, and Prince Ford, who just got here, like, that's, like, you can't put a price tag on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's absolutely incredible, right? When I haven't even spoken to these guys about a schematic plan and Matt Bailey is talking to them about the defense, you know? So I just think where we're at from a developmental standpoint and a skill set standpoint, I think we got some really good guys up front that understand what we're trying to get done. And just because we had guys drafted, the standard and the expectation will not change, you know? And I think the guys who are here are letting the guys who haven't been here know that.
And since you mentioned the three newest DBs, just what went into maybe pursuing, you know, them in, you know, the summer, and kind of did they give you something you thought you needed?
Yeah, well, I think anytime you lose, right, we lost Kendall Smith, we lost Devin Witherspoon, we lost Quan Martin, we lost Sidney Brown, we lost four starters for us in the secondary, right? And we were bringing in some freshmen from obviously from high school that we recruited, but right, we wanted to try to, how can we replenish our roster with a couple of older guys? We just want a couple of older guys or some guys with some actual game time experience, right, who can come in here and we felt like who can help us. And so we just evaluated the guys that were out there, and Demetrius Hill popped up, right, Clayton Bush popped up, and Prince Ford popped up, you know. So I think once we saw those guys and we saw their skill set, we knew that they could help us, you know, just from an athletic standpoint. And when you had a chance to meet them and brought them up here for an official visit, you knew that they were the right kind of guys and they were the kind of guys who could fit into our program and our system.
And early, you only had one practice with them, but what do they bring physically?
Prince Ford is really athletic. He's pretty cerebral, kind of slight, you know, but so was Devin, right? But he flashed a couple times last night in terms of he got some really quick feet, right? Obviously, we didn't have on any pass or nothing, so that's another. I'll be able to give you a full synopsis once we put on pass, but he did some good things out there, you know. I think Demetrius Hill has all the ability in the world, big, pretty guy. He understands from a schematic standpoint what we're trying to do defensively, and he knows kind of like the he knows where his help is, and he's very, very, very intelligent, you know. And they gave him some formations last night that he hadn't seen, and he adjusted to them on the fly, and it was so awesome and so encouraging, right, as his coach. And so I was very, very pleased by that. And Clayton, I think Clayton has a ton of ability, you know. He did some really, really good things. I got him in the middle of the field right now. He did some really good things in the middle of the field, you know, tracking the football. Obviously, you know, day one, we have on no pads, you know, so we're trying to make sure guys are just taking the proper angles, staying off the ground, staying off their teammates. And so just some first day, you know, trying to knock the kinks off, and I have a better understanding after the first scrimmage, you know.
Coach, can you just comment on the depth at the outside linebacker position, and do you feel like that's a group that can get to the quarterback consistently?
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, we had a chance to go to the New York Giants in the offseason. Me and a couple of coaches with Coach B, and I walked in their outside linebacker room and came back to ours. I'm like, ooh, these guys look just as good as they did in the NFL, you know what I mean? But we got some very talented dudes, right? We got some guys who obviously have been here. We got some dudes who put some things on tape in terms of their ability. I think we are really deep at that position. Obviously, Coach Bullen has done a tremendous job, but the goal is just to continue to allow those guys to eat and get better. You know, like when they're on the field, putting them in positions where they can have success. You know, they're all wired a tad bit different, you know. Yeah, I think Gabe sleeps up here, right, when we're not in fall camp. You know, Seth is probably one of the more – I'm not so sure Seth can't play DB, you know, just with how athletic he is, right? AB's a freaking grinder, man. Like, he wants to put his face and stuff and get to the point of attack. And, you know, Lane has been flashing. I mean, it's we got a really special Jared Beatty. I mean, we got some really athletic guys, and how do we get all of them on the field? You know, it's going to be a mix of us trying to make sure we're matching up with proper personnel and, you know, different games, because we're going to be playing some guys who can run around a little bit, may require some different schematic tools. But they are a very deep room. It's a great room, and I think we got the right guy in there, and Coach Bullen, and coming from the league, and he's kind of used to that. So it's been awesome.
Aaron, you said at the beginning of spring that you were going to use that time to figure out what this defense was going to be schematically. You didn't know yet. Did you get a lot of that answered in the spring, or are a lot of those things still up for grabs?
Well, I think part of it is, right, I think you saw an idea of it in the spring, but then you bring in, right, we have, I think, over 45 guys on our roster. This is their first fall camp.
Right.
You know, and so you're still finding some things out because we just have some new faces and new guys on our roster, you know, and so I think it's as we kind of progress through fall camp, I'll probably have a better understanding of it. You know what I mean? Obviously, we're going to do what we do from a defensive standpoint, but it's going to be some minor tweaks in, here and there, just because of, you know, with our personnel. You know, when you have three DBs that can get drafted or that got drafted in the secondary, you can do what you want. You know what I mean? And so, are those same guys back there? Can they make up for what those guys did from a, whether it's one or two guys, whether it's an influx of guys, four or five guys, you know? And so maybe not as productive, but can hold their own when they're on that island in the secondary. And so obviously got our guys returning up front, which I'm really, really excited about. But it's just a matter of who can help us. Are we a man team? Are we a zone team? You know, and just kind of finding out, you know, early on, like, what are those guys' skill set? So.
Yes, versatility. Is there a correlation there? Is that more coincidental? Like, is that like a, I don't say a graduate system, but can you go from there to there?
Yeah, you can. I think it also, right, both those guys had tremendous ball skills as well. You know, obviously Kendall was long. He was physical, right? We felt good with him. You know, sometimes in our dime package, the dime covers the tight end. We felt really good on him on tight ends. And same thing about Matt Bailey, you know, like he's long, he's athletic. We feel really good about him on tight ends, but we also feel really good about him being in the post because they have tremendous ball skills, you know what I'm saying? And so anytime you can combine length, right, we're going to play in, obviously, this conference where we play a lot of really good tight ends, right, some long athletic guys, and so you want to be able to get hands on them, and sometimes having a 5'8 guy, right, cover them don't really match up well. So we just try to match guys up, put them in a proper position to be successful and personnel it. So that's pretty much what it boils down to.
John, the league is really.
Everyone deserves a decent place to live, including man's best friend. Habitat for Humanity of Champaign County is looking for teams to help raise the woof by participating in a fun and unique pet habitat building competition for a great cause. Grab your friends, family, or coworkers and put your creativity and building skills to the test.
Raise the Woof 2023 Under One Woof is taking place at the Habitat Restore on September 9th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
All the money raised via Raise the Woof will fund Habitat home builds here in Champaign County. You can find more information and register your build team online at CUHabitat.com.
Longwood, kiss that baby goodbye. It's gone a mile. Simmons touches the ball.
On Friday, August 18th, the Cardinals host the Mets, and that night, 25,000 fans aged 16 and older take home a Cardinals Hall of Fame car parade bobblehead thanks to Ford. Fans will be surprised at the gates when they receive one of two mystery bobbleheads. Will it be Matt Holliday or will it be Ted Simmons? Which one will you get? Find out August 18th. Get your tickets now at cardinals.com/promotions.
The Mahomet Music Festival, presented by Fisher National Bank, has been bringing this free, family-friendly event to Main Street in downtown Mahomet. Friday, August 25th, on the Darwin Boston State Farm stage for bands Zach Tompkins, Candy Foster in Shades of Blue, and Hairbangers Ball. On Saturday, August 26th, Christian band Sanctus Real will perform at 11 a.m. The headliner for this year's Mahomet Music Festival is Chris Jansen, who will perform on Saturday, August 26th at 9:30 p.m. Details at Mahomet Music.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champagne. We can handle all your car repairs on site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champagne is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampagne.com.
I've got to clean out this garage. Let's see. What's the cheapest and easiest dumpster service in our area?
Here's what I found. The doggy bag.
Think she's broken. I'm not looking for takeout. Siri, try again.
The doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet.
Doggy bag? What's that?
If you got junk that needs to go, but you don't want the hassle of having an enormous dumpster delivered, grab a doggy bag, keep it as long as you need. They'll come take it away. For more information, just visit bulldoggybag.com.
That's bulldoggybag.com.
Urbana's Market at the Square has been cultivating a vibrant scene in CU since 1979. Get to know your farmers bringing locally harvested honey, crafts, jewelry, art, fresh-cut flowers, plus produce including fresh leafy greens and root vegetables, fresh baked treats, and a wide selection of proteins. Going on now, every Saturday, 7 a.m. till noon, rain or shine at Illinois and Vine, it's Urbana Market at the Square. Find Urbana Market on Facebook or urbanamarket.org.
Wouldn't it be nice to visit a car dealership where you didn't feel like you were at an auction? Or didn't feel like you were being taken to the cleaners?
I'm going to make them an offer he can't refuse.
Welcome to Sarah Champagne. At Sarah, they offer a one-price promise. Every vehicle at a fair price, no negotiation, only the best price. Sarah Champagne, Honda, BMW, GMC, Buick, and Subaru, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
When you're buying a battery, it's important to look beyond just the price and make sure you're buying a quality battery. So when you're buying one from the big box store, make sure you ask the question, what's the date on this battery? Is it dependable? Sometimes the big box stores have batteries that have been sitting on the shelf for years. Or you can just come to Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable, and buy your battery from the people who only do batteries. Interstate Batteries at 2504 North Madison, Champaign, way out there, but totally worth the drive. How much is dependable worth to you? Interstate Batteries open 6 days a week.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola, Champaign-Urbana, your home for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Joey Wagner. Good stuff from Aaron Henry, new Illini defensive coordinator, getting you geared up for that change in towards football season. If you're a Cardinals fan out there, I can speak for both Joey and I. You're probably eating up as much football content as possible right now because it's hard to latch on to baseball.
This is very weird, Derek Piper, in the summer. I feel like a bad fan saying, like, I don't care about my baseball team.
I don't.
One, it's you and I both have YouTube TV. So it's a circus to try to watch the Cardinals.
I got DirecTV Stream just for Cardinals season. For the Cardinals season.
I hope you canceled that like a month ago.
I still have it.
Derek, you're throwing money away. I can't do that. I know. It's weird, though. It's very, very weird to not have a reason to care. I follow the trade deadline stuff. Obviously, you have to. Meh. That's my takeaway from deadline day. Like, all right. I see they still love Dylan Carlson. Okay.
God.
Speaking that's it. That's all I took away. And, like, I'll get into it in the offseason when they tell us they're going to spend money. They don't spend money. Steven Matz. They get, like, Steven Matz again. This 2.0, whoever that is. That's the same story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird. Weird summer. Very, very weird summer.
Waino and his 8 ERA starting tonight against the Rockies pitcher. That was a 9 ERA. I will not be watching either one of those, quote-unquote, duel it out on the mound.
Dude, but. I think I went and got food last night, and I had the radio game at 9:35 on. I always listen to you and Lon. And the call was on, and they're like, Liberatore doesn't have it tonight. It looks very hittable. And I thought, this is where it is. This is where it is. That's just – I don't know that I've ever heard, like, you always want honest analysts. I wasn't mad that it's like, I can't, like, you just don't hear that a lot when you listen to the Cardinals on the radio. And I thought, stinky.
He hasn't had it all season. And I'm frustrated. Oh, I know the other guy just went to the IL, but he's had a hell of a season. The Rays drafted Matthew Liberatore and Shane McClanahan in the same draft and traded Liberatore to the Cardinals, who. And Liberatore was the first-round pick. McClanahan taken, I think, in the second, or maybe it was the supplemental after the first, whatever. But McClanahan's like 11-2 on the season, and Liberatore doesn't look like he's even a middle-of-the-rotation guy.
What was the other mix? It was the Angels. He ended up just back. He was taken before Trout, the outfielder. Went to the Cardinals for a little bit. Mm. He's back with the Angels now. Oh, gosh. Hold on. Oh, boy, I closed out of everything.
The Cardinals drafted him?
No, the Angels drafted him. Before Trout, they ended up also, obviously, with Trout. Goodness gracious. Randall Grichuk.
Oh, okay.
Always seems to happen. So then, before we get to Illinois basketball, which is infinitely more interesting right now than Cardinals baseball, this whole, obviously, Mosaic, pitching, right? What has he done that's given you the hope that, like, he knows what he's identifying, pitching, and this front office knows which pitchers to target. Like, I'm not trying to be dramatic about it, but there's no pitching depth in the farm system. So, like, what are they drafting? Are you sure they pivoted a little bit away from, like, the stunningly enough, you don't want to try to induce contact. You would prefer they swing and miss.
Swing and miss is important.
That memo has finally come across his desk. But, like, I don't know. Like, you're sitting here like, okay, they're going to get pitching in some of these deals. That's great. And I thought, I don't know that I care because I don't know that I think they know truly what they're after.
That's a great point. And we could spend way longer than we want to on this. There was a tweet that I saw that from 2018 on, in terms of drafting the Cardinals, 55% of their draft picks have been pitchers, and yet they sit there and feel like they – couldn't even fill out a rotation right now.
Every year. It's not like it's every single year. It's like, oh, John Lackey, that'll work. Yeah. And like you've got to go. And look, John Lackey was okay when the Cardinals went and got him, but it feels like they're always in the market for somebody who is at best a fourth starter. And like, that's the one. It's gonna save
Jay Happ at 45 years old. Oh, by the way, one more final note. I promise it's the final one. Jack Flaherty was throwing like 96, 97 yesterday, which
What that?
I don't know what's up with that.
You got the line score on that? How do you do? I didn't watch.
He struck out 8, and then he got 1 earned and went 6 plus.
All you can do is laugh. Good for Jack Flaherty. Yeah. I think it was cool. He left Ollie Marmol a note.
I didn't read that.
Yeah, there's a report that he left him a note, and Ollie didn't get into the specifics, but he said something along the lines like, you kind of remember why you do this.
Mm.
I always like Jack Flaherty.
I have been questioning why Ollie Marmol is still doing this, but I will appreciate the sentiment there on that one. let's go line of basketball. I know that's what people would rather hear us talk about, so let's do it. The team left town today. They did have to do a connecting flight there to Dallas and then Dallas over to Madrid. They'll play the Madrid All-Stars on Sunday, as you mentioned earlier in the show. The Madrid All-Stars took Nebraska to overtime. Nebraska did win. They also played Valencia, which is the second game for the Illini, and that was a 3-point win for the Huskers. We'll see what the difference is. Again, Tominaga not playing for Nebraska. Illinois has higher expectations than the Huskers this season and pretty much every season. Let me phrase it this way, Joey, because you and I were both there at open practice on Wednesday. What would be, because we're not going to get to see much. Hopefully highlights maybe pop up on Twitter. I'm kind of skeptical of even that. We know box scores will get posted, and beyond that, hopefully, I mean, definitely in time we'll hear again from Brad Underwood, and you know, our jobs is to send some texts out and see what else we can gather of what is going on in these games. But what would you hope to hear if you were a fan or even just someone who covers this team, as you think about this current version of a Brad Underwood squad? What would be the best case scenario in terms of this happened over in Spain, and that would be a big deal for Illinois?
Can we do where I pick two and then you pick two?
Let's do it. Let's do a draft.
There's a little draft. Do you want to go 1-1-1-1, or do you want to go 2-2?
Let's do 1-1-1-1.
They shot the ball well.
That's a good one.
Like, that is – now, some of that hinges on this Marcus Domask play. Domask?
Domask.
Domask. Just have to write it. It's a really lovely life. We don't know. We don't know what his status is going to be. He was out with a hamstring injury. He certainly is in the equation for how they're going to shoot the basketball. But after watching last year and their inability to shoot the basketball, Brad Underwood was asked, are you going to be a better three-point shooting team? And he said, hope so. And I'm paraphrasing, but kind of hard not to be. That would be the big one is, Do they shoot it better? And namely, you know, does Coleman Hawkins hit a couple threes? Does Terrence Shannon, Damask would be in that conversation. I think Quincy Guerrier. Luke Goody. I don't think you're looking to Ty Rogers and Sincere Harris to be those guys. But how do they shoot the ball over there?
That's a good pick. I will go with an obvious one. Point guard play to see some good lines out of Ty Rogers running the point and being able to make good decisions. You look at the assist to turnover ratio, you know, him playing in some game-like environments, I think is good both for him, for Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn, just for the staff to evaluate what they really have there at that position now, because I mean, you got to get a team into offense. You got to be able to make good decisions out there and be able to find the open guy and make sure that the offense had a flow, which it didn't have last year because of shooting, because of also a lack of a true point guard was a big part of that as well. So Ty's going to get first crack at this thing. We all know that. Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn was pretty darn impressive in Wednesday's practice. Sounds like he's been repping the point quite a bit too. I do think there are situations where those guys can play together, but it seems like Ty's your starting point guard. Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn's your backup. Nico Moretti's in the mix. Sincere Harris is in the mix in terms of all other ball handlers. I think you could have real reservations about both those guys. Number one, Nico still slight in build, still think he's probably another year away developmental-wise. And it's just not ideal to have to – there was a fly.
I just hit myself trying to hit the fly.
He's on your hair right now.
I'm not built for this.
off track. and it's Sincere Harris, not a true point guard. And a guy that I know you're doing a story on.
Well, Brad Underwood mentioned that. I asked about his development. He almost mentioned, like, get him more off the ball. Point guard just seemed like his thing last year.
No, for sure. And I know that he made some nice slashes to the basket on Wednesday from the corner, and actually made a three, which was good to see. I even said I'll call myself. I was like, man, that's kind of surprising. That thing went in, but I think I will definitely want to know, and everybody's going to want to know. You know, what's the latest with Ty? If Ty goes over to Spain and doesn't have good stat lines, people are going to start to mutter around again, you know, should Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn maybe get more of a crack at being the the starting point guard from the jump? Should Illinois maybe reconsider if some point guard in August, which surely somebody's going to hit the portal again, not saying that Illinois is going to do that, but because they still have a spot open. But the tie box scores are going to be very much under a microscope. And I think if he played well and Dragos Lawhorn played well in a point guard role, I think that'd be a big deal for Illinois.
Yeah, that's a good pick, especially because it feels like the Gibbs Lawhorn hype train, momentum train is starting to pick up some steam. And I don't think that's manufactured. It's information that that's kind of trickled out over the course of the summer, and then a lot of us were in there and saw, and it's like, this kid looks like he's pretty good.
Pretty talented.
To me, I think you want to see Terrence Shannon just be the best player on the floor. Like, start to finish. Every minute he's in there, on a team with a bunch of grown adults out there, like, you want to see him as the absolute best. And we saw, like, he had talked about his consistency and wanting to shape that up. The NBA talked to him about his consistency and wanting to see more of that. The thing that I liked, I think, probably the most, I know we talked about it a lot on Wednesday, Derek, him in the mid-range was very, I hesitate to say this, but, like, just in terms of, like, recent Illinois players that you've seen is Io. Like, Io was very comfortable. He looked for those mid-range shots because he knew they were his shots. He knew where his spots were. There was some of that. Now, we only saw an hour, right? But Terrence Shannon had talked about that mid-range element to his game. And I think that adds a dimension that can help with that consistency. If the three's not falling, if the paint's clogged, to just go get to a spot, have a spot there. You want to see him put up some big numbers. Like, I know you're playing against grown adults. You want to see him really take that over and remind everyone why. Like, I think there's a reasonable argument for him to be at the end of the season in some All-American list and to be a first-team All-Big Ten guy and to be that guy who really could be fighting for a spot in the NBA right now. Like, that, to me, is a big one.
No, that's very well put. I think back to the Italy trip, and Io was coming in as a sophomore at that time, and you could see that he was just in a different mode of taking his game to the next level and saw the confidence, and he put up some big numbers in those type of games. So I think that Shannon doing that, I loved the in-between game, because I think everybody's going to – anytime Shannon puts the ball on the floor and enters inside of the arc, they assume he's going to the rack, which he needs to do. He still needs to get to the line, get to the free throw line, or get to the rim, get to the free throw line, guy that shoots 79% as a career free throw shooter. But – there's openings to be had around that Io-like elbow and the runner in the middle of the lane was also something he flashed there in that Wednesday practice. So I think that's a good way to put it too. This is kind of a little more big picture, and I'm going to write about this. I'm writing actually three things to learn about Illinois going into the Spain trip. But I think that just kind of the overall makeup and identity is something that you can get a sense of. Again, it'd be easier if we were in the building and able to watch these games or even on stream, but I would want to know that Illinois has got a killer instinct to them, that they are a start fast kind of team, like sense that they are superior to this team that they're going to play, assuming if they are, and just let it play out that way from the get-go. Last year's team just messed around for what, like, whether intentionally or not. Usually probably not, but just they were slow starting. They were lethargic. They didn't have that grit, that bite to them. They lost that in terms of the defensive end later in the season. And I think a veteran team should know what it takes to win and just have that feeling of we don't need to be messing around with a squad that isn't in our league. So I want to know that this team has some things that they can hang their hat on. They don't have long stretches of being on the wrong side of a big run. I think that's a characteristic of a team that is kind of reeling when they get hit in the mouth. I don't think Illinois should do that this year because they've got guys that have played a lot of college basketball, and hopefully someone like Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins and maybe Ty Rogers grows into that, can be someone in the huddle or out there on the floor that says, you know, we got to buckle down. We got to get this thing going in the right direction. So I think that's something that, again, it's something that the staff will get far more of a read on than I will with this trip. And yes, we're still 3 months away from games actually mattering and you're going to play a lot of people, but I think that's something that we're in the early stage of this team really figuring out who they are, and I would hope that that is part of what they become.
Yeah, I agree with you there, and all I can think of is just going to be a quarter or a half or maybe a whole game that I assume the Illinois basketball account is going to tweet out or post some scoring updates. Mm-hmm. There's going to be one or multiple of those that is going to have people in a total panic, right? I think we both agree on that some score is going to be too close, or maybe they're trailing at the half. And, like, I can't pick the team because I don't know about you. I kind of looked for some information on these teams. I was not much of a help. So it's going to be a team that is probably going to give them a run. Maybe they figure it out, but there are going to be a lot of mentions as like, oh, my gosh, mess. And in reality, it won't be. And I thought Brad Underwood, just fly.
It is loving all over you, man.
I feel just probably going to perpetually smell like maple syrup. I thought Brad Underwood was interesting that he had talked about, like, they really want to tinker with different ideas over there. They want to win. I don't think any one of those guys is going to stand in front of a camera or microphone and be like, yeah, we don't care.
Don't care, yeah.
Matthew Meyer would have been a candidate for that if he would have been part of the overseas trip to be like, yeah, you know, season is until September, November, whatever. But I don't think any of those guys are going to do that. But I do think there's a lot of experimenting that's going to go on over there, which is probably going to lead to some of those scores being closer, and people are going to be a little uncomfortable, I would imagine, in reading those.
What if we found out, and we do got to catch a break here, if the Gasol brothers, I was thinking of guys that are from Spain, the Gasol brothers are on, like, the Catalonia All-Stars, maybe.
You don't even play, just take pictures. Take pictures and smile. It's
right.
A great time here. Probably some upset donors and friends who are going over there with Illinois. But
yeah, I would think
so.
Know,
win in Spain.
Win in Spain. Win in Madrid, Barcelona, and Valencia. Good stuff. That segment, by the way, brought to you by Game Day Spirit on the Note of the Illini. That is your one-stop shop for everything in Illinois. We got football season just around the corner. If you need a new T-shirt, probably early games in terms of showing up at Memorial Stadium, that'd be the way to go. If you want to think ahead and maybe get a hoodie for one of those night games or later on in the fall, that's your place to go. Hat, T-shirts, everything. I mean, they got a great selection. Always buy one, get one in terms of T-shirts go. That is a place you need to shop at. Two locations, Neal Street and Green Street, and then also GameDaySpirit.com. Joey and I got to catch a break, and then we'll be back to wrap up the show. This is The Drive.
Hi, this is Kirk Lehman with Aftershock Decals and Design. And right now, we are looking for an honest, hardworking individual that wants a career with Aftershock Decals and Design. If you have any kind of experience wrapping vehicles, tinting windows, we want you.
You can't touch this.
No, not that kind of wrapper.
You can't touch this.
Please go to our website at AftershockDD.com, click on the Jobs tab, and send in your resume. We want you. AftershockDD.com.
Hey, Class A CDL drivers. Gale Ferrix Trucking wants to invite you to join our team and get a taste of what it's like to work with a team that cares about you, your home time, and your professional growth, as well as your paycheck. This is Operations Manager Donna Onstott inviting you to join us as we continue building the company you would have started if you knew then what you know now. Gale Ferrix Trucking. Call 765-793-7131 today. Our drivers are pre-dispatched, make a guaranteed minimum gross pay of $1,200 per week, have paid vacations and benefits, and are home every weekend and sometimes during the week for quality family time. Our openings are limited, so don't miss your opportunity with the top-paying trucking company in the area, Gale Ferrix Trucking. Call 765-793-7131 today. The days are getting longer, and our customers are booking us up with freight. Gale Ferrix Trucking. 765-793-7131 or email timo@gftlog.com.
Tapman's Towing is looking for you. If you want a career with a great local company, it's Tapman's Towing, paying top dollar for experience. If you have an excellent driving record, good oral and written communication skills, are willing to work hard and want to be paid top dollar, visit tapmanstowing.com. Tapman's is looking for CDL drivers, record drivers, and dispatchers. Work with a local company that rewards hard work.
Tapman's Towing. Visit tapmanstowing.com to apply today. Tapman's
Towing. Hi, I'm Steve with Restoration Urban Ministries, and we have a desperate need. We have a building that's coming down, and we have to put up another one. But we have you, and we have God on our side. So August the 12th, we are going to have at Hessel Park in Champaign, family, food, and fun. We're going to have 5 to 10 different church bands playing. We're going to have speakers. We're going to have testimonies. We're going to have food. We're going to have sausages and barbecue and corn on the cob, all kinds of summertime treats. And we're going to have a lot of fun going on. We have different games for the kids. So we're counting on you to come and join us and participate and help us raise money for a new building in Jesus' name. You can come and visit us at www.restorationurbanministries.org. Family, food, and fun at Hessel Park, August the 12th. We'll see you there.
Join the Champaign Parks Foundation for a fun evening of food, socializing, and entertainment at the iHotel and Conference Center with Champaign Park District Youth Scholarship Fund to benefit from the new Ties and Tennies Gala. It's coming up on Thursday, September 14th, and you'll enjoy dueling pianos, a plated dinner, complimentary wine and beer, live and silent auction, and featured speaker Team USA Paralympian sitting volleyball player Nicole Millage. Learn more details. Visit champagneparks.org.
Illini family, this is Josh Whitman. Illinois football is coming off its best season in more than a decade, which makes this the perfect time for you to join us at Memorial Stadium. Single game tickets are now on sale with special preseason prices. From now until August 7th, tickets will be the lowest you'll see all season long, and that is our family first promise. Don't miss out on big games like Penn State, Wisconsin, and Nebraska. Get your tickets at FightingIllini.com before August 7th. ILL.
Pepsi-Cola Champaign-Urbana Bottling is getting summer started with some fresh new products. Take a break from the sun and get a taste of cool, crisp, refreshing, starry lemon-lime flavored soda. Stay hydrated with Gatorade's new Fast Twitch Energy Drink and get your daily source of vitamin A and C with Gatorade Fit. Find your afternoon pick-me-up with Starbucks Caramel and White Chocolate Mocha Frappuccino mini cans. Order these delicious beverages and everything else with Pepsi-Cola Champaign-Urbana Bottling Company. Visit Pepsi-Cola.
By now, you've all heard the expression, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 for PDR Automotive. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. But who are they? They, the PDR staff, understand that a name is only as good as the people that represent it. The PDR staff has more than 335 years of combined automotive experience, several employees now on staff for more than 25 years. PDR, more than just a name. Family owned and operated, now celebrating over 50 years in business. Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
We have to get out of here, Joey. It's that time to go. Before we do, it's a Friday. People are going to be mad. They're already mad at me because I've have buried it in this show, but if you're still sticking with us, you got through another week. What are we cheersing to? Cheersing to football being back.
Football being back. More happening than the terrible St. Louis Cardinals.
Yes. We don't have to talk too much about them anymore. And to a great week one battle. I'm sure I'll see you again before that, but my Bears against your Jordan Love Packers.
Fighting Jordan Loves.
Yeah, here you go.
Happy hour.
Oh, yeah. All right, we're out. We're late. Everybody have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. We're back on Monday. This is The Drive.
Went out. I always told him, be careful. And that was the last time I got to see him.
Because someone didn't slow down and move over. Ross had on a bright orange shirt with reflective stripes the night he was killed.
He always had that smile. He just lit up the room when he came in.
Slow down and move over when you see flashing lights. Everybody.